Hello and welcome to my latest match pod review for www.mufcglobal.co.uk. We want Glazers out. Say we want Glazers out. Manchester United back in action against Brighton at Old Trafford. I'm on the walk to the ground. It's just after 4:30. Team news is out. Just the one change. Harry Maguire, there was talk about him having a knock. He's not even in the squad. Mason Mount also with a knock. He's managed to at least make the bench. So the team, a couple of changes to the team, basically from the win at Anfield, the men's in goal, the wide players, well, the centre-backs will be De Ligt, Yoro and Luke Shaw with the wide players, Dalot and Ahmad, then two midfield, Bruno Fernandes and Casemiro. And then the three further forward will be Cunha and Bremo, and Sesko comes in to start today. Obviously, a great result at Anfield last week, but you know, I'm not jumping for the rooftops about that, because I know this Manchester United team are what they're capable of, or essentially what they're not capable of, i.e. stringing performances together and getting results in a run. I'll remember last season when we beat Manchester City. As I say, our players do turn up against the so-called bigger teams. Actual top teams turn up against pretty much every team that they play against. When they won 2-1 in the Ahmad show. And then they didn't win for six matches. Well, not in regulation time anyway. Didn't win for six matches. They lost the next... they lost in the League Cup after that game, but that was a different team. But the next league match, they got battered 3-0 at home by Bournemouth. They lost to Wolves the game after. Then they got beat by Newcastle. They did get a battling 2-2 draw. Oh, shock horror against Liverpool. Oh, and then a 1-1 draw against Arsenal in the Cup, which they won on penalties. Oh, what's the thing that links on? Oh yeah, it's always a good look to play to put in a performance against a so-called bigger side. So today we will learn a lot. And as I say, you look at the manager last week, didn't even celebrate Maguire's winner. He was more like about, right, let's get ready for what's going to happen next. And thankfully Gakpo missed that header. And then United pretty much saw it out pretty well. So the manager knows what the issues are at this football club. He knows that beating Liverpool at Anfield, and he talked about it, it's fantastic for the fans. But for the actual football club, there's a lot more work that needs to be done. And hopefully it starts today against Brighton. As I say, these next three matches, Brighton, obviously today, we know the significance. Forest next week, obviously they've got a new manager now, so it's going to be a very, very different kind of game. And then Spurs before the international break. A Spurs side we lost to four times in one season. I mean, last season was bad. I mean, that says everything. Losing to Spurs four times in one season, and as I say, there were no penalties, there were no extra time, four times in a season. I mean, I know the Bruno sending off was ridiculous and a disgrace, but four times, I mean, it's a shock. And as I say, three further defeats, we'll just be going into international break like we've done the other two international breaks. Or how many more games for the manager? The manager knows there's big issues, the manager knows there's lots of massive amount of work to be done. And as I say, hopefully it starts today against Brighton. Say I'm wandering down, walking down the canal at the moment. Be hitting the main road soon. And I will be back post-match. Obviously, Danny Welbeck does start for Brighton. He's in a good run of goal-scoring form. So it's up to us to stop him carrying that on. And it's important that we get the result. Although, I'm sure we'd all take Danny Welbeck scores a goal and Man United win. You know, consolation when we're 5-0 up would be fine by me. So we'll see how things go. And we'll be back post-match. So still pretty much just getting actually towards the ground now. Just to mention, Brighton have won their last three matches at Old Trafford. They won't come in here. With any inferiority complex, they're thinking we've come here the last three times. I think it's been 2-1, 3-1, 3-1. And to be fair, United this season, they have had a decent home record. They've obviously they lost the first game against Arsenal. Didn't deserve to lose, but they did lose with a goalkeeper mistake. Which cost them, but they've been pretty sort of good results since then, with wins over Burnley, Sunderland and Chelsea. So, you know, maybe it's not that Old Trafford is a fortress, but maybe the home comforts are much better than they used to be. And obviously say, following on from the Liverpool result, they need to make sure that they back that up. Very important, especially with two difficult away matches to come. So as I said, I will be back post-match with my thoughts. So on the walk back from the game, it's finished Manchester United 4, Brighton 2. They have done what they needed to do, back up the win. It looked like it was going to be comfortable, but United nearly did their best to throw away a game that they were in absolute complete control of. In regards to the tail of the tape, Brighton were the better side for the first sort of 10-15 minutes. Much more control of the ball. United, well, I say nearly, this is just what we see normally from Manchester United. You get the start match, unless it's Anfield, with the Mbeumo goal. But it was actually probably the ref who, even though United one got booed off, Anthony Taylor, doing his PR work for the BBC. Just Google that, and it's never the referee's fault. But he gave a foul to Brighton, which wasn't a foul, and then decided not to ever give any, or not many of those. In the match, there was about four or five similar ones on United players, and didn't give any of them. And then he didn't give a penalty to Ahmad. Is it a penalty? I've seen it back. The player touches the ball and then fouls Ahmad. It's a 50-50. It's one of those. If he gives it, they're overturning it. If he doesn't give it, they ain't gonna make a decision against Tails, as he's known by his PGMO MOL mates. But that seemed to spur United on, and they seemed to think there was not necessarily injustice, but just like, we ain't getting anything off this referee, so we're gonna have to go off and do stuff ourselves. Cunha had a shot, good save for Buggin. It was a bit basic save. Then some nice little play from Casemiro, a little ball into Cunha, who put a lovely little curl shot right into the bottom corner. Apparently is his first goal in like 16 matches for club or country, his first goal for Manchester United. Big goal. Then later in the half, Casemiro finds himself a lot of space 30 yards out. A piss poor, let's be perfectly honest, shot that came in, but as the curator says, if you don't have a shot, you don't know what's going to happen. Deflection straight into the back of the net. I was behind that at the other end of Stretford End. You hit it, you're thinking, well, this is just going to be gobbled up by the goalkeeper, or it's going wide. Deflection, goalkeeper committed, into the back of the net, 2-0 to Manchester United. And, you know, I think they deserve to be at least a goal up at half-time, but being 2-0 was the added bonus. But as I say, if you don't buy a ticket, you're never going to win the raffle, and he took that opportunity, Casemiro. Into the second half, not really much was going on. United were... Brighton were trying to push forward, but United were repelling them, not easily, but they were doing the basics. And then a nice little breakaway into Sesko. Lovely ball from Sesko, who into Mbeumo, who cut in the right and then just drilled it in low. Little bit fortunate because Shaw does have hold of the shirt, but maybe that's the referee realising that maybe it should have been a penalty. And there's another thing that happened also, that, you know, you're thinking to yourself, the ref's thinking, should I have given that decision earlier? Sometimes you need those things to go for you. And, you know, with 3-0 cruising after, this is after 60 minutes, you're thinking this game is done, this is Manchester United, by the way, and they needed those little things to go for them. Yes, there was some substitutions made, and people will question the manager of some of the substitutions, but at the end of the day, players on the pitch just not doing simple basics. Corner to United, ball was flicked out, Dorgu had just come on, and Kobbie Mainoo had come on, and that was for Ahmad and Casemiro. Dorgu had the ball, was headed out. Dorgu had the ball, poor pass. Where there was, you know, you either shoot and blast it over, or have a shot, a proper shot into the net to put pressure on the Brighton defence. Or if you're going to play the pass, play it actually properly. It was a simple pass. United lost the ball, a breakout from Minté. Dorgu did, they clipped his heels, took him down. He had sort of lost a little bit of control of the ball. But for me, if Anthony Taylor gave Dorgu a yellow card, if Anthony Taylor given him a red card, they ain't changing that to a red, because it's Tails, remember. See, that got away with one there. Well, bit put the free kick in. It was a good free kick. Keeper should have saved it. It was in the centre of the goal. It wasn't in the corner. I mean, the keeper should have saved it. But I said at the start of the pod, I'd love to be 5-0 up. Danny Welbeck can get his goal. But 3-0 up, Danny Welbeck to get his goal, that is fine. So 3-0 going in stoppage time. 7 minutes of stoppage time was put up for Manchester. Was put up, and you know, even at 3-1. United just lost composure, and Brighton were pushing forward. They had not, obviously, clearly had nothing to lose. They were pushing forward. A couple of saves from the men's, you know, from long range effort, saves he should have made. They're not work flashy saves. They were just saves that he should have made. But with the goalkeeping issues that Manchester United have had, just seeing a goalkeeper doing the basics is a bonus. But then it stoppage time, and there were 7 minutes put up, and there was, you know, it's like the crowd were happy about it. I wasn't happy about it, but you think to yourself, United 3-1 up, there's 7 minutes of added on time. This crowd know this Manchester United team. They're thinking, yeah, there's still time for Brighton to get a couple of goals here, because they're not thinking, oh, 7 minutes, oh, well, we'll see this out, we'll see this out easily. This Manchester United side put you and make you jittery, and a shock horror, 2 minutes into it, so didn't even, we thought maybe 5 minutes, but so 2 minutes into it, goal from a corner. And I was going to say to my friend Harry next to me, we'd actually defend the corner as well that match, but I thought, I better not tempt fate. What Xerxes doing? I mean, it's just awful defending. A simple near post, typical James Milner. He did much better than Belaba. I tell you, his basically his audition for so-called Manchester United are interested in him. Well, let me tell you this, Belaba, you either play poorly to get your value down, or you're not very good. He's been subbed a lot by Barton this season as well. But basically, Brighton are going to say, this is how much you're going to have to pay. And I think Man United are going to look at it and go, you're not worth that much, mate. Because, I mean, as I say, James Milner came on, took the corner, headed into the back of the net. Xerxes just... It's just poor defending, and you could feel the stress from the crowd. But the crowd knew when the 7 minutes went up, and they weren't happy. And you know, as I say, the manager had made subs, and people say, oh, why is the manager criticising the manager for making subs? The thing is, you do sometimes have to change personnel on the pitch. But those personnel have to go in, and they have to do the basics and do their job properly. And it was mistakes and errors from Manchester United players, and a lack of composure, as I say. The leadership in this team at times can be poor. It was good against Liverpool, so why against Brighton when you're 3-0 up? You give away a goal that you probably, as I say, Lemieux should have saved it. Let's be perfectly honest. But it wasn't his fault that free kick was there. It was poor pass from Dorgu. And, you know, as I say, United could have been down to 10 men in 3-1. And you worry about the fact it was 11 v 11. And you look at that and you think Brighton in that last sort of 15, 20 minutes could have got the goals to get it back to 3-3. Look at the Chelsea game. United 2-0 up, cruising, down to 10 men. Chelsea were the better team after that. and you do worry at it. And United in that match did their best to try and throw the game away. So, you know, when you're cruising, you've got to see these games out. And players, when they have come on the pitch, have to get with the game. United play one game a week, for heaven's sake. These players should be ready to perform and to do the basics. Although the tactic of kicking it up to Xerxes in the air like they'd done with Sesko didn't really work. Xerxes is better with the ball at his feet, so that didn't help. But United, they did hold on. They actually showed a little bit of composure towards the end in the final minutes of stoppage time. The ball cleared out, heaven through, sort of passing to Bruno Fernandes, who just dummied it. Brian and Bruno onto it, smashed it into the top corner off the crossbar. Always looks better that way, to make it 4-2. And to see the game out, and Bruno, clearly the best player on the pitch today, for an excellent performance from him. And United backing up that performance against Liverpool, which was absolutely massive to do. And as I mentioned about the home record, as I say, lost one match. Unluckily, is Old Trafford becoming a fortress again? I won't go that far, but I think what it does is to build up confidence in playing home matches and having the crowd behind you and keeping on top of things and winning football matches. Now it's two tricky away matches, and I'd argue today's win is probably, I mean, not necessarily, I think even in significance, it's a bigger victory for Manchester United today to back up that result at Anfield, even though they tried their best to throw away the 3 points, and they sort of pushed themselves further up the table. I'm not quite sure what position that they're in. Somebody was telling me before that they moved up to fourth, but I think the position in the table at this stage doesn't really matter because it's a very tight Premier League. Sunderland is second, I know that for a fact. So, you know, are they going to stay the whole season? Who knows? But at the end of the day, for Manchester United, it was about backing up that result against Liverpool, which they've done. That's 3 wins in a row in the league. When was the last time they did that? And now it's all about, right, we put ourselves into a reasonable position now. Can we go to Nottingham Forest and Spurs and get results from them? And, you know, what they'll need to do is they'll need to sort of channel that probably from about 15 minutes to 70 minutes in this match. That's when they were at their best, and they bested Brighton. But the period's first sort of 10-15 minutes, and towards the end, it would if they're doing that for the majority of the games, especially away from home, you're not going to have the fans behind you. They will have problems. So, an excellent win. And on to, as I say, Forest away, and then Tottenham away. 2 matches last season that they lost. I'd say they lost a lot to Spurs, I mentioned that before. Lost both the matches to Forest. So two sides that did the double over them last season. So let's see how that goes in. It's obviously, it's a traditional 3 p.m. next week as well for the Forest game. So with a new manager, and they've got some good players and a good squad. So United can't be going there thinking, right, we just need to turn up under Ruben Amorim and that will happen, because he knows, as I mentioned earlier, he knows what the problems at this football club are. And he probably wasn't even surprised by the fact that the game was, it was probably more surprised that they were winning 3-0 and cruising than the fact it went to 3-2 and they just got the fourth goal to seal it right at the end. It was like, yeah, this is more the normality, but I'd rather have the 3-0 and cruising. So we'll see how that goes. So as always, thanks for listening. All pods up at www.mufcglobal.co.uk, up at various podcast platforms, just as Spotify, Podbean, Listen Notes, Podchaser, PCast, search MUFC Global and it will come up on your favourite search engine. So as always, thanks for listening, and I will be back after the Forest game next week. Obviously, players will get, as I say, one game a week, players will be rested, so there's no excuses, building up the fitness. Just one more sort of final comment around Sesko. He did have an opportunity in the first half on his left foot. He should have done better. He should have at least hit the target. But what was good to see was his link-up play with Cunha and with Mbeumo. So he's a target man, and there were a lot of long balls played up to him, and he dealt with those well. I think he bested Van Hek in the battle, in that physical battle. So that's something. Obviously, he's been bought to score goals as well, but his link-up play was very good, as I say, with Cunha and Mbeumo. And it'll be interesting to see what Amorim does in and around with Mason Mount. Will Mason Mount come back in at Forest to, like he did at Anfield, and maybe play more of that sort of fluid front three system, or will Sesko sort of keep his place? But you know, as I say, for me, the more games that Sesko gets, the better. He can link up with whoever's playing on you know, in that, those number 10 positions. But obviously, he does need to score goals as well. There will be question marks if he's not scoring goals, but do you know what, if he's not scoring goals and the team's winning with him on the pitch, that is always a help. That sort of wards people away from saying wherever the goals if your team is winning. So that is something to say. Sesko trying to, you know, integrate him with a run of games. But I'd just say, we know that the manager likes Mason Mount as well. And let's be perfectly honest, Mason Mount will only play 60 minutes or 60 to 70. Well, maybe, you never know. Maybe he'll get to 70 minutes, you never know. And then you will come on. You know that Mason Mount's going to be substituted at some point. So Sesko knows he will get game time. But it'll be interesting to see what the starting lineup is against Forest. But as I say, 3 wins on the bounce. Whoever he picks, you know, you've got to be thinking that the manager's thinking, right, let's just keep that winning run going. So as always, as I said, thank you for listening, and we'll be back post the Forest game next Saturday.